The Warriors now have a commanding 3-1 series lead over the Memphis Grizzlies, and Brian Murphy, host of the Murph and Max Show on KNBR, is going to join me to recap a gritty victory. Folks, if you love Warriors, that was tense, that was stressful. We're going to break it all down. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You could follow Brian Murphy on Twitter at KNBRMurph. He's the host of the number one rated Murph and Max show. Brian, that was a stressful game. I don't know how deep your fans were with the Warriors. I was sweating bullets. If I still was a cigarette smoker, I would be chain smoking. Your feedback, your reaction to that wild victory?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I wasn't as stressed as I was kind of pissed. You know, like it was so frustrating to see them play so poorly. All the phrases that you hear, rock fight, you know, mud fight, whatever you want to kind of like football cliches. Analogies, you know, jokes about run defense and pass rush and all that. There was so much going on. It was such a weird, discombobulated day that had multiple layers. It started with something as simple as Ja Morant missing the game, which was unusual, and we still don't know what's going on there. Then Mike Brown gets hired as the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, which I think didn't shock any of us, but still, it was a significant thing. And then, dude, the bomb hits an hour before the game that Steve Kerr has tested positive for COVID, and you sort of don't know how to process all these things going on. Well, Ja's out, and Kerr's out, and now Mike Brown's in, but Mike Brown's the Kings coach, you know, so it had that. When you reflect now on the game, you can see why it was so discombobulated. Like,
yes,
definitely the Warriors were off kilter. I mean, Mike Brown wasn't expecting. He said, I wasn't expecting to be the head coach. And even we know he's done it before. He's been NBA coach of the year. He's took a team to the finals. He coached 11 Warriors playoffs games in 2017. But still, it's different to be told an hour and a half before this particular game when you've got your assignment locked down, you have your notes ready, and now all of a sudden you're the head coach. So, you know, is that why they shot poorly? Is that why Clay and Jordan shot 0 for 10 from 3? Is that why they missed their first 16 threes? I mean, probably not a direct link, but I definitely feel like upon reflection that the game was so weird and discombobulated because of all those external factors that were sort of adding up. And then they missed their first 16 threes, Cyrus. So
that was crazy. I mean, I would never expect the Warriors to go through a wild slump like that. In your opinion, was that more just the tension? I mean, here was my take on this game. I thought yesterday's game four was the most important game of the entire year. I now think the Warriors are in the driver's seat for a world championship, if health allows, obviously. But that game was crucial because I did not want the Warriors to win or have to win another game in Memphis. Do you think it was more the pressure of the moment? That felt like almost like an NBA Finals game than just a conference semifinal. Or do you think the Warriors was Memphis doing something defensively? Like,
yeah, I definitely think I saw them stressing. They were running defenders on the 3-point line, no question. I was noting several times during Warriors possessions. I was like, man, that's good defense. They really are. They were. There's a couple things. One was not just running them off the 3-point line, but Steven Adams in the key was a deterrent to taking it to the rack. And I kept yelling at my TV, take it to the hole, take it to the hole. And Steph, I'd love to go back and kind of do a film study with the Warriors on it, but there were several times where I think Steph drove the key, saw Steven Adams and kind of kicked it out. Now that is their game, drive, kick and all that. So, you know, is Clay 100% right now? Is he as consistent as he can be? No, he kind of runs more hot and cold than he used to, but I definitely think Steven Adams taking away a little bit of the rim early. I'm talking about early in the game, cause he didn't finish the game. He wasn't on the floor at the end, but, him taking away the rim early kind of kicked him loose. There's just misses. I mean, just 2 games ago, didn't they shoot 7 for 38 from three? I think
there was another game, I think, where Clay, the playoffs went 0 for something. This wasn't the first time he did that.
And I think we know Steph has not had the best shooting year of his career. In fact, I think he's actually had statistically the worst shooting year of his career, right? So he's not He's not shooting it the way he is. So I think there's a number of factors. I do give Memphis some credit. They do have some big bodies that were, I think, making a concerted effort to at least run at the Warriors on the 3-point line. So there was a lot going on, taking away the rim with Adams, guys not shooting their best because they're not having their best shooting years. I mean, when Jordan Poole gets hot, obviously it's a sight to behold. And dude, look who came along and kind of kept him afloat, because Cyrus, there was a point in that game where I was, like I said, I was pissed. You know, I was like,
yeah,
is there, and I looked up and it was 66-60. I was like, dude, they're only down 6. I mean, it feels like they're down 26. You know what I mean? And so, you know who gives a little, first of all, the Warriors played good D. Mm-hmm. Second of all, Dylan Brooks was one of the most valuable Warriors yesterday. All right, dude, he was a mess. I think he was choking under pressure. I definitely think
he was.
And we can get into that in the late stages. He made a couple of bad decisions late in the game too. But you know who kept him afloat is Otto Porter. Yes. Otto Porter Jr. hit 4 big 3-pointers. 4 of them. Everyone he hit was important to keep the Warriors within range. And then, dude, we got to the fourth quarter, and it reminded me a little bit of that the Rams Patriots Super Bowl from about 3 years ago. It was a really bad Super Bowl for 3 quarters. Wasn't it like 7-3 or something in the fourth quarter? And Brady trotted onto the field with about, I'd have to go back and look at the notes, but 8 or 9 minutes to go. And I remember the Superdome was in New Orleans, and Brady had done nothing. The Rams had defended him well, and the crowd started chanting. I just remember this. The crowd started chanting, "Brady, Brady," which I had never really heard. But I remember thinking, oh, he's gonna go score a touchdown. He's going to lead him down to a touchdown. And he had a couple of huge throws to Gronkowski and I think Julian Edelman, and they scored a touchdown. They won the game. And I was like, well, of course they did, right? And that's what I think about yesterday with Curry. Like, as bad as everything was, as upset as we all were, when it came down, he checks in with 8 minutes to go. Weren't you thinking, oh yeah, Steph Curry's going to win this game. He's going to win this game. And it's hard to define why, other than championship DNA,
yeah,
you know, championship pedigree, or just having the slower heart rate than the other team at that point in time. Having the courage and confidence to take those shots when he has to, making his free throws when he had to. I mean, Kyle Anderson, I think, went like 1-for-6 from the free throw line yesterday.
Oh, he was awful.
And Steph made 8 in the fourth quarter. You know, and we were worried about his free throws last series, and he made, I think he went 8-for-9 in the fourth quarter. He missed the first one. So anyway, it just reminded me that as bad as everything was, they never fell out of it. And then once Steph checked in, I felt like, oh, yeah, Steph's going to win this game.
Yeah, and I think you cited it perfectly in terms of how we define, like, you know, championship DNA, the experience. It translates to a lack of anxiety. It translates to confidence. Mm-hmm. It translates to, you know, that belief that, you know, you've been in this situation, you know how to handle it. It's no different than any of those 5 championship runs you've had, you know, at least NBA Finals runs. And I like the analogy. So Stephen Curry is to Tom Brady as Jared Goff is to Dylan Brooks. I like that. Yeah. I respect that.
Jared Goff. You know, it's funny. I mean, because it's like we live in the era of data, right? And everything's supposed to be measured. And there are still some things that can't be measured.
A lot of things.
What we're just talking about right there. That sense that the Warriors are going to win. Right before he came on, I saw Draymond did a podcast and he had a quote that was going viral. He said, "We're not the Minnesota Timberwolves."
Yeah.
Because we're the Golden State Warriors and we know how to win championships. And did you see Pat Beverly of the Timberwolves wrote underneath the comment? He wrote, "The man is speaking facts. Respect." So even Pat Bev's like, "Yeah, we're the Timberwolves." So
it is crazy. It is crazy how Draymond, with all the outspokenness, he still does eventually garner the respect of his peers, with the exception of maybe Tristan Thompson. I don't know if those two get along, but I think everyone else eventually just goes, "Damn, that guy just can play." You know,
he delivers, right? He delivers. I mean, the block of Jaren Jackson there at the end of the game. It's funny. To my naked eye, I thought, "Ooh, did he foul him?" And sure enough, you see, the league office came out today and said clean contact. And it, by the way, bad shot selection by Jaren Jackson on that. They had 18 seconds to go and he rushed that in a little bit of traffic. That's what we're talking about, Cyrus. Like,
it's crazy.
Like,
it's absolutely crazy.
The Warriors have taken bad shots in the history and yeah, they've lost games, but more often than not in that situation, they're not going to take that shot that Jaren Jackson took.
Why do you think national media has a hard time coming to terms with the fact that the Warriors are the best team in the NBA? Why I still feel so much disrespect from folks who are not in the Bay Area. I mean, it's almost like people begrudgingly, you know, say, okay, fine. Like I heard today, for example, Brian Windhorst and Kendrick Perkins, who drives me insane, they were saying that the Warriors shouldn't have even won that game and that the Grizzlies showed how amazing of a team they are and that if they had just made less mistakes, they would have won. It's like, I could see sort of your point, but are you not going to give respect to the fact that the Warriors still won that game? I mean, they're up 3-1 in the series.
Are you an inside the NBA? Are you a TNT guy for Charles, Kenny, and Shaq?
Everything nationally, especially
Charles. I mean, I love Charles, but he, what you just said. So that they've played Denver now and they've played Memphis.
Yeah.
And I watch after each game, and the first thing Charles does is he gets mad at the Nuggets and the Grizzlies for not doing what he thinks they should do to beat the Warriors. And I'm like, dude, sometimes, bro, you better. And Charles knows what he's talking about. He's a brilliant guy. He's a smart guy. And I know he's a little bit playing a character. But part of him is I think what we heard from him in 2015 is what a lot of people still believe to this day, is that a jump shooting team isn't a real basketball team. And I think they still resent the Warriors for that a little bit. I mean, the Warriors changed the game. You know, they kind of won the championship with three-point shooting, but not entirely. They won it with defense. You know, and they want it with strength in numbers, and they want it with ball movement, all those reasons that we love Warriors basketball. But the outside sees them as a soft jump shooting team, kind of like the West Coast offense of the 49ers, who had Ronnie Lott and Charles Haley and Fred Dean. You know what I mean? So
it took a while
perceptions. So, I mean, perceptions are perceptions. It's West Coast. Steph and Clay are the children of famous NBA pros. They're children of privilege. You know, they're not hard scrabble stories who came from tough backgrounds. So it's easy to sort of resent that they had a sort of a silver spoon life. You know, Kerr has been outspoken in politics that angers some people, you know? And so there's a lot of things. We're on the West Coast, not the East Coast, you know? So.
And Draymond really is polarizing. Like Draymond really, like, especially I hate that term boomers, but whatever you call the older crowd, especially in the conservative side, they hate him. Like there's like genuine like vitriol they feel toward Draymond Green. It's bizarre. I mean, I get he's outspoken, but since like who made up a rule that says you're not allowed to be outspoken in this world, you know?
Especially if you're I go back to the Patriots. Like, first of all, if you're winning, you're gonna have haters. Like my dad used to tell me growing up, it was the New York Yankees. They won the World Series every year. And my dad had this line. I remember he listened to some peer of his talking about how much he hated the Yankees. And my dad was saying, isn't the point in sports to be the best you can be, to be a champion? He goes, shouldn't you admire the Yankees on some level for what they do? You know? So, but that's my point is that this is a thing in sports. The Celtics of the 60s hated, John Wooden's UCLA Bruins hated, Bill Belichick's Patriots hated. So, the Warriors are the dynasty now that is hated because they're winning. And then I talked about all those other things about West Coast and Steph and Clay being jump shooters and all that, but you bringing up Draymond, if you add all those together, you add they're winning, so they're going to be hated. Steph and Clay changed the game. They're gonna be hated. Then you add Draymond. So you can think of the teams you hate the most throughout your life, whether it's a baseball, basketball, or football team. And you can think of some player from that team that you hate. That's Draymond.
Yeah, I hear. And first of all, I love the Charles Barkley reference because it feels like he's coaching the other team after every game. Yeah, yeah. Like he's always giving like advice to the Nuggets and Grizzlies. Like I heard last night, he was like, Memphis, I'm telling you, man, it's probably too late. But if you start running Adams and Jaren Jackson together and keep attacking, he's like coaching them. He wants the Warriors to lose.
He doesn't like their style. Shaq and Kenny are more fair to them, I think.
I agree. Especially Kenny. Yeah, I agree. But even Shaq. Shaq's surprisingly with the Warriors seems very rational. He seems pragmatic. And I love your analogy of the Niners' West Coast offense because you're right. People didn't just come around to that right away. There was a lot of resistance. A lot of people thought it was exciting, just like the Warriors, but also kind of weird, right? It went against the norms. And I guess ultimately when you go against social norms or norms of any kind, you're going to get resistance. Yeah. People are afraid to change.
And also to our point earlier, it wasn't just the West Coast offense that won. Ronnie Lott and Keenan Turner and Charles Haley and Eric Wright, they had a great freaking defense, but all people focused on is the perception that they were a soft West Coast finesse offense. Oh, Ronnie Lott's going to light you up and Charles Haley's going to sack your ass too, by the way. But that's the Warriors defense. Draymond will stifle you on defense, but we think of them as the Splash Brothers. Well, guess what? They also will D your ass up. And they play great defense. You know, one of the things I said 66-60 was the score when I felt like they were down 30. The Warriors played good defense last night. They did.
Fantastic. 98 points. Yeah.
There was, and I mean, I know Jaw was out, but still, that defense kept them in it long enough to give Steph that chance to change his shoes and go win.
And great call on Otto Porter Jr. because you're right, especially those first two threes. I think the Warriors were down with 12. Yeah. And it was looking precarious. And then Otto Porter Jr. hit those threes and just changed the whole flow of the game. I know you got to run, man. I could sit here and talk with you all day long. Your partner in crime, Paul McCaffrey, Paulie and Tony Ryan made a great analogy. They called Draymond Green the Ronnie Lott of the Warriors. And
yeah, there we go. We're making all these analogies to the Niners, because I was actually saying this, Cyrus, to Paulie. You know, now we feel pretty good about this Warrior chance. The finals are looking pretty good.
Yes.
Phoenix, whichever team they play will be tough, but I feel like they got a good chance to win the finals and then get to the NBA finals. I know the Celtics could be tough, the Bucks could be tough, whatever. But I was saying to Paulie, so if they do get it, they get four. And you know who else had four? Joe and Ronnie had four. You know, then you get to Joe, because right now they're like three is like Bruce Bochy, Buster Posey. And then you get to four. And now you're talking Joe and Ronnie. Joe and Ronnie are deities, right? So. Four is a
special number. And then five is where you're all of a sudden putting yourself in that really top level tier.
I brought it up on the other day, and Paul, you went right away. He went to five. And I'm like, well, let's just get to four first.
Yeah, let's get to four. Exactly. Exactly. And
focus,
it's crazy because
focus.
Exactly. And Steph, he's admitted he watches all the stuff. He cares about legacy. He cares about how other people perceive him. And you know he wants that finals MVP. You know that's stuck in there. Just like Steve Young. I mean, he wanted that monkey off his back when he won in 94 against the Cowboys or January 95. And I feel like Stephen Curry feels the same way. So we'll see.
Awesome.
You got to run. I'm so thankful that you took time out of your schedule. I know we went later because of the Locked On Kings podcast, but thank you so much.
Hey, all due respect to Locked On Kings podcast, and I know they hired a new coach, but come on, this is the playoffs, baby. This is the playoffs.
Exactly. All right, brother. And you can listen to Brian Murphy every morning on streaming on KNBR. And you can follow Brian Murphy on Twitter at KNBR Murph. All right, my man. Have a great day. Did you get COVID, by the way? I heard there was like a scare in your building.
Check. All four of my family members. We went 4 for 4. It was like, I said, we were like Tony Gwynn or Rod Carew. We went 4 for 4.
How did it feel? Because I know Kerr's down. I mean, how did it feel, man?
Well, as my doctor said, when we talked to them on a video visit, we said, well, we're doing pretty good. They said, that's because you're vaxxed and boosted. Your immune system is doing its work. So,
there's a new booster out there. People don't realize that. There's a new one.
Yeah. Get the booster because your immune system will fight it and it will keep it in check. And then you come out on the other side.
Absolutely. Brother, you go do your thing. Thank you so much, Murph. Always love you, man. We'll talk soon.
See you next time, bro.
All right, brother. That is Brian Murphy of the KNBR Morning Show. He is the man. Time to pay some bills here. First off, Prize Picks. NBA fans, if you're looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA, then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and we know you will too. And it's easy to use. If you go to prizepicks.com, you pick 2 to 5 players. You pick an over-under. So let's say you're wondering if Draymond Green's going to get 10 rebounds in game 5 against the Grizzlies. You're wondering if Stephen Curry or the pool party or Clay are going to get 25 points. You pick over or under that amount, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe. And one of my really favorite parts about Prize Picks is they offer fast withdrawals. What that means is that if you win and you want to duck out, you can get your money right then and there. It is super fast. It's super easy. So again, all you got to do, just go to prizepicks.com. And I want to add, by the way, for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point. But you must use the code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today and use the code NBA for $50 free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point. And today's episode is also brought to you by Athletic Greens. This stuff is good for you, folks, especially the AG1. And it's super easy to use. All you do is you get a scoop, you put in a glass of water in the morning on an empty stomach, and you drink it. It doesn't taste bad. It's full of incredibly nutritious ingredients. It's almost all natural. Maybe it is entirely natural. But the point is, it's amazing for you. I have a lot of people in my life, including my mom, my sister, my wife. They're incredibly conscious of what they put in your body. And they checked out the ingredients and they agreed, this is good stuff. And again, it's super easy to use. It's great for your immune system. It's great for your acumen. It's great for your digestive health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NBA network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, the big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. So am I, at least on Twitter and here. You can follow me on Twitter at DogSurfRocho. You can follow the Locked On Warriors podcast on Twitter and, of course, the YouTube channel at Locked On Dubs. And again, folks, if you're a member of Dub Nation, that game was a stressor. All right. And I really do believe that the players were feeling that stress. It didn't help that Coach Kerr was out because of COVID. You typically with the Warriors, again, I've been saying this on the show repeatedly, they are the best third quarter team, arguably in NBA history. The measurables confirm it, at least in terms of regular season data. But last night, they were outscored in the third quarter, 28-24. And the adjustments were not made. That's not necessarily an indictment on Mike Brown's coaching skills, but maybe the absence of Steve Kerr played a part in that. But clearly the pressure was there. This was an environment that you feel in the NBA finals typically, and maybe for good reason. The Grizzlies are a very respectable opponent. Incredibly. I've been saying this on the show time and time and again. I'm firm in my convictions in saying this, that the Grizzlies are the biggest challenge to the Golden State Warriors in this NBA postseason. Say what you want about the Phoenix Suns. Say what you want to Dallas Mavericks. To me, that would not be a contest. That would maybe go five. I could predict a sweep on that for the simple reason they don't have size. That is the one chink in the Warriors' armor that you could attack is their height. When it comes to rebounding, when it comes to blocking shots, when it comes to getting easy baskets. Funny side note, the Warriors have won the rebounding battle in every game of this series. But regardless, there is tremendous respect for this Memphis Grizzlies team in terms of their talent, certainly not in terms of their behavior. Brian Murphy mentioned the NBA reviewing the last 2 minutes. Taylor Jenkins, in absurdly in his postgame press conference, alluded to the fact that Draymond Green might have fouled Jaren Jackson Jr. The NBA reviewed that play and deemed it a clean play. The NBA also reviewed Desmond Bane's push on Stephen Curry's back. Now, look, did Stephen Curry sell that a little bit? Yes, he clearly did. But was he pushed in the back? Yes, he clearly was. And then the NBA also confirmed that. So, it's really crazy what Jenkins is doing in terms of these narratives that he continues pushing, these distractions that he's trying to create. This quote unquote mental warfare he's trying to create in this series. Fortunately, it's not working because the Warriors are now up 3-1 in this series over the Grizzlies, and they will look to close it out in game five in Memphis, incredibly hostile territory, tomorrow. I want to give some love to another longtime sponsor, and that is Bet Online, especially betonline.net, which is your source for nearly all the sports information you need, especially if you're looking for lines and odds and information on how you can win some money betting on sports. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. And because there is such a short turnaround in this series where there's only one day off for both teams for the remainder of the series, and this is likely going to continue, I believe that this format will maintain in the Western Conference Finals as well. So if the Warriors do close out Memphis in Game 5, they might get a nice little break, especially if the Suns and Mavericks go to six games or more. The Golden State Warriors in Game 5 in Memphis are favored by 4 points. They've been favored in every game this series. It's incredible. They did not cover last night. They covered in game three. They did not cover in game two. They actually did. Actually, game three was the only game they covered. So Memphis has been actually doing fantastically, if that's a word, in terms of covering the spread. Yeah, because the Warriors won game one by one. I think they were favored by two. They lost game two by five when they were favored by 1.5 or 2 again, depending on the line's movement and the time of day you're looking at it. Game three, they were favored by, I believe, 6.5 or 7, and they won by 30. And then in game four last night, they won by 3, and I believe they were favored by 10. So I don't know if betting on the Warriors is the recipe for financial success, unless you're betting the money line, since they have won 3 of the last 4. But in game five, the Warriors are favored in Memphis by 4 points. The over-under is 219. The over-under was settled by the first quarter, if not the second, in last night's game. That was an easy under for any folks who bet that. Congratulations. And if you bet the over, you were crying by, again, the mid-second quarter. The over-under again for this game tomorrow, 219. The Warriors minus 170 on the money line. The Grizzlies are plus 150. And again, find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NLF futures. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline.net. It is where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Brian Murphy, I cannot thank you again for coming on with me today. Again, we got delayed. I'm ribbing the Locked On Kings simply because we share the same platform for recording these shows with the Locked On Kings and the Locked On Penguins broadcast. And I go to check in, and we have a system. I take responsibility. I'm obviously playing with them. We usually check in with each other. We have a set of times, but today I came in late, forgot to let them know that I was recording with Brian Murphy at a later than normal time. And so all of a sudden I check in there, and he's doing an interview with Bonte Hill, who does the all the broadcasts for NBC Sports Bay Area, and he hosts the morning show for 95.7 The Game. And I was ribbing him a little bit because I was like, come on, man, Boopy, pal, Locked On Warriors, Locked On Kings. You want a Warriors expert to talk about Mike Brown? Hit your guy up, the guy just down the street. No offense to Bonte Hill, but come on, man. Anyways, so that's why Murph could not stay with me for the whole show today. We got delayed by almost half an hour. But still, many thanks to Brian Murphy for joining me. You can follow him on Twitter at KNBRMurph. I want to finish today's show. Well, first of all, I want to give again kudos to the Warriors just for a fantastic game. When you look at the stat sheet, yeah, Stephen Curry had another off night, especially by his standards from three. He went 4 for 14 from beyond the arc, which is not your typical Stephen Curry night. Klay Thompson really struggled, 0 for 7. And I do agree with Brian Murphy that his swings, his ebbs and flows are much more drastic than they used to be. I don't recall a pre-injury Klay ever going 0 for anything from beyond the arc, especially in a playoff game. And Hall of Famer Rick Barry, who was on the show last week, he made a great point about Klay's struggles. He really believes that Klay's bad nights are the result of him not setting his feet and that he's forcing his shots. There might be some truth to that, but Klay also had some huge shots. There was that corner three, for example, and you saw Dylan Brooks screaming to his teammates that Klay's going to be wide open just a split second before the play happened. And Klay hit a monster corner three that actually was ruled a 2 later on. His foot was on the line. But that was a tone setter, and that was late in the game. It was a huge bucket. Klay also made a few fadeaways using these spin maneuvers, which were phenomenal, incredibly hard to defend. So Klay, you know, he finished with 14 points. He was -3 in the plus minus, but he did also add 6 rebounds. 7 rebounds. You know, and his height is coming into play here. You know, everyone talks about the Grizzlies' length. You know, Klay is 6'7" with shoes on. Maybe he's 6'6" without, but he's not a small shooting guard. And it's why, you know, at this stage of his career, for him to transition to more of a small forward role is not necessarily the worst thing in the world for him. But again, when you're going 0 for 7 from 3, Andrew Wiggins, went 1 for 5 from three. He had that one miss late in the game that just, I think, missed the rim altogether. It just hit the side of the backboard. And that brought back a lot of memories to last year's play-in game against the Grizzlies when Wiggins missed a late game three in similar fashion. It was just ugly. But Wiggins, despite those missed threes, if you take those three-pointers out, he went 6 for 8 from the field. And his inside presence has been phenomenal. Wiggins in last night's game had 10 rebounds to go with the 17 points, and he led the team in plus minus with 12. So when you talk about the players that have really thrived in this Grizzlies series, which again, your opponent is long, they're athletic. So to combat that, you have the Warriors presenting their own long and athletic players. You have Andrew Wiggins, who is 6'7 and is built. I mean, he is a physical specimen himself. There's a huge reason why he was the former number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Otto Porter Jr., who is at one point in his career earning max dollars because of not only potential, but because of his legitimate talent. And he's had injuries derail his career. He's still, even today, on minutes restrictions. Last night, he played 25 minutes when they probably could have used him a little more. I think that's part of the reason why you don't see him starting games. But again, he had a huge night, two straight games now where he's hitting him from deep after a slow start in the postseason, finishing from beyond the arc 4 for 6, which is staggering. All of the shots that he made last night were from beyond the arc. He also had one field goal attempt that he missed that was closer to the rim. But his 12-point game was crucial. His defense is crucial. And players like these are ones who are stepping up. Jonathan Kuminga started the game and we never saw him again. He only played 5 minutes, had 0 points, had a whopping one rebound. I still say this about Jonathan Kuminga. I love him. He is clearly the future of this organization. I think we're going to start seeing some amazing things, if not already, but especially in terms of an impact on the court consistently. I think we'll start seeing that next year. For a player at his age to be exposed to this playoff environment is just doing nothing but amazing things in terms of his growth, especially. This is a player that is going to be a star in this league for years to come. And again, being in the playoffs is huge. It's huge. So kudos to him for just an outstanding performance overall. And just as a 19-year-old, especially, he had a much better game three than last night, though. Maybe I shouldn't say that. He only had, again, no points in 5 minutes of play. So we might see more of him in Memphis. We'll see. A player who perhaps has been a bit divisive this year, a bit polarizing this year for the Warriors, Damian Lee, played 13 minutes. But the reason why he's playing, and I understand people's frustrations with it, I'm not particularly happy myself with Damian Lee getting heavy minutes. I personally would have liked to have seen Nemanja Bjelica out there. I would have liked to seen Jonathan Kuminga out there late in the game. You know, Mike Brown seems to be following the same pattern that Steve Kerr had with Kuminga. Because remember, this is not the first time that Kuminga's starting. He started games in the regular season at various times throughout the year. And anytime he would start a game and he'd struggle, Steve Kerr had the shortest leash and would just pull him out. Whereas, you know, I've been arguing that some players in this game sometimes need time to develop a rhythm. They need time to develop a flow to start becoming comfortable. And Kuminga, when he struggles at the beginning of games, is not given an opportunity to redeem himself. I do think that the Warriors could have done a little better offensively when they were stagnating there, particularly near the end of the game in the third quarter, by bringing in players who have a post game. This has been a legitimate critique of the Warriors rosters that they don't really have anyone who's a big and who can give them easy baskets, who has a quality post-up game that can give you a quick, easy 2 points. But they do have some players who can do that. They don't excel at it particularly, but they can. And Kuminga is one of them. And then another one is Nemanja Bjelica, who we still haven't seen since game 4 of the Nugget series. And I really thought with Ja Morant out and with the Grizzlies slowing the game down the way they were, that he would have had a role in yesterday's game. And it's not just the fact that he gives you size. It's also the fact that he can shoot the three. And as a big who's on the court, when he lurks beyond the arc, he's attracting defenders. So one of the huge problems the Warriors had in that game was the fact that the Grizzlies were clogging the paint. I mean, they were being very aggressive defensively. Ja Morant is one of their smaller players. So when he's out there, he's just not a great defender to begin with. But without Ja, the Grizzlies were employing this really big lineup out there that not only was clogging the paint with Steven Adams, with Jaren Jackson Jr., Kyle Anderson, who is at 6'9", is just a pest. He's a very smart player. Granted, he's a horrible free throw shooter, but he still went 7 for 8 from the field, finished with 17 points. You have Zaire Williams, who's also 6'9", can hit the three. Last night he struggled a little bit from beyond the arc, just went 1 for 4, but he still put in seven points in the game. Brandon Clark, it is fascinating that the Warriors have taken him out of this series because he only played 11 minutes and scored 4 points. But the point is that this is a big team. And if you don't have shooters out there to force those bigs to come out, they're going to clog the paint and they're going to prevent easy baskets. Bielitsa helps solve that for two reasons. One being that he can shoot the three. So if he's lurking beyond the arc, it's going to be the Grizzlies have to respect that. They can't just let him sit out there. They're going to have to defend him. And Bielitsa would likely attract a bigger player because Bielitsa is savvy enough to create his own shot. Draymond Green alluded to that during the offseason when Bielitsa was first signed and showed up in training camp. That was one of the first observations that came out from any player. And it was Draymond Green. And he said, wow, this guy can actually create his own shot. He can put up shots off the dribble. He's got a ball handle. He's got, solid ball handling skills. He can shoot the three. So it was a little surprising to me that the team is opting to go with Damian Lee over giving minutes to Jonathan Kuminga or to Nemanja Bjelica. And the only thing I think of is that Damian Lee is a player they trust to in big moments. In Game 3, he was hitting those shots. But again, consistency is what plagues Damian Lee because in Game 4, he only went 1 for 6 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3. But he did have 3 rebounds. And I think that plays a part as well in Damian Lee's role is that he is 6'5", which in today's game is not small. It's not big, but it's not small either. And so he gives you a little length, a little size, and they trust him. They trust him not to turn the ball over. As evident by last night's game, he had no turnovers. And ultimately, that is something that this team does still need to fix. Those 16 turnovers last night were a huge reason why Golden State was down for all of 45 seconds. There was only one lead change, folks, in the entire game. And that was when the Warriors took that first lead. And it was about, 45 seconds to play, approximately? But the Warriors win. And I cannot emphasize enough how that was the biggest game of the year for this Golden State Warriors squad because they now take a 3-1 lead. They maintain home court advantage. And if they could put away this Grizzlies team, especially in 5, you're going to get some days off. And even if they do it in 6, I'm sorry, but I just do not respect the Phoenix Suns as a team that I think is comparable to the Memphis Grizzlies in terms of a challenge for the Warriors. The Warriors have already proven they could beat Phoenix. Stephen Curry has proven time and time and time again in his career that he has Chris Paul's number. Draymond Green has proved in that last game that when it comes to mental warfare, he won that battle with Jay Crowder. These are two gentlemen that were on the verge of legitimate fisticuffs, and Draymond Green's, talking him down, going, "Man, you're from Buckhead. you're not about that." I don't know if you folks remember that interaction between the two back in April, I think, when the Suns, or maybe late March, when the Suns and Warriors played their last meeting of the season. But if it's the Mavericks are, the Warriors are built to beat a team like the Mavericks, because if you play Dallas, Draymond Green's going to cover Luka that whole game. That is a perfect defensive assignment, and Draymond would welcome that. And you don't need him to be going through all the warfare down low, fighting for rebounds, fighting for blocks, dealing with other individuals who just are bigger than you. With Dallas, I'm extraordinarily confident that the Warriors could handle them in 4 or 5. If it's the Phoenix Suns, I'm going to say 5, maybe 6, but it could be 5-2. I do not see them as a threat. Murph just brought up the fact that we're in this, analytics driven world this day. There's so much data everywhere and it has its place, but I do not think you need measurables if you're watching basketball athletes on the court playing in big moments like this. I really do believe the eye test does suffice in a lot of cases. I'm just more of an eye test person. I am. I don't mind the numbers. I think you can use the numbers certainly to validate what your eye is seeing, or and certainly to raise awareness for players that you don't get a chance to observe much. But if you're observing a team, like let's say the Golden State Warriors, as religiously as I do, I just, you know, the numbers are really secondary. And regardless, whatever, that's a side note. But I really do believe, and the reason why I brought that up is because regardless of the Phoenix Suns' numbers this year, their 6-4 regular season wins, you know, their offensive, defensive efficiency stats, they're impressive. But it's their regular season stats. The Warriors could care less about the regular season. This is their season that they care about. And let's use these stats. Right now, the Warriors have a better record than the Suns in the postseason. That's all that matters. All it's going to take is one win, and the Warriors gain home court advantage, just like they did against Memphis. So, yeah, that regular season stuff, toss that out the window. Look at what's on the court right now. Look at how these players are doing against one another. And you will agree with me, I hope, that, yes, the Warriors will easily handle the Suns. But I'm still looking ahead. There is still game 5 tomorrow night. I believe it's 6:30. That's a tip. And let's hope that they clear it out. On tomorrow's show, Kevin Dana is going to join me. And we're going to preview game 5 of the series. Many thanks again to Brian Murphy for coming on. You can follow him on Twitter again at KaneBureauMurph. You can follow me, Cyrus Sotsis, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadShow, and this program on Twitter at LockedOnDubs. What a game, folks. That was crazy. That was a gritty, solid world championship style victory for your Golden State Warriors as they take a step closer to their fourth world championship in 8 years. 7 down, 9 to go. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Cyrus Sotsis. Thank you. Take care. Later.